This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Hello and welcome to Outspoken. Thank you for joining us again. I'm trying not to laugh because we have been trying to record for the last, I'd say, half an hour, and Amy has the most annoying neighbors that as soon as we get into the room to record, they start doing something loud outside. It might be their dog barking, or I think they were
using a pressure hose.
Pressure hosing their backyard.
The most awkward thing is I feel like they can hear us right now because we can hear all of their conversations.
They get a free live show.
Yeah,
unedited, uncut. Well, on a slightly different topic, Amy and Sophie relived childhood and they had a sleepover last week.
At what age does it become inappropriate to have a sleepover?
Look, I think there needs to be some context. We didn't just have a sleepover. Sophie's boyfriend went away for a work trip.
Sorry,
and she was...
all I did was get the sleepover club music. We've got to play it in the background while we're talking about this.
Brandon and I were literally singing it as a joke the night before Amy and I had our sleepover.
Wait. Do you mean what?
The sleepover club.
The
Channel 9 show. People of our vintage will remember that show.
Oh, we'll have it playing whilst we're talking right now.
Well, just anyway, back to the story. So Soph's boyfriend went on a work trip and she has been talking about it for weeks, saying she's so scared and that she's been begging me to sleep over.
And now Sophie is 31 and we realize that she has actually never slept at a house by herself for 31 years. Now I still don't get that because
in saying that, I had to stay in a hotel room by myself when I went to Sydney to visit Amy on the shadiest street. There was a brawl outside my window. I was terrified.
Can I just say, I never lived in Sydney, so you weren't visiting me. We went to visit my boyfriend and I stayed at his house and
I was terrified that night.
Well, anyway, I got in trouble with Soph because I tried to flake out of the sleepover. So Kate and I went over, we had dinner with Soph, and then I thought, I kind of just want to go home to my own bed. I only live 5 minutes around the corner. Surely Sophie would be fine with that.
And she is living in, it's not a gated community anymore like you were last time, but it's literally a house from like that's got a few in the little cul-de-sac, no, not cul-de-sac, but in the group of houses. So I don't get it. It's not like it's on a main road.
Well, I was scared. I thought I'd be fine, but that week there was an incident where Brandon thought he heard someone downstairs. So at about 3 o'clock in the morning, we were creeping down. They were so scared someone had broken in. So that's why I was particularly scared this week.
Even with a dog, you are scared.
He is not any sort of guard dog. When we heard this noise, he was fast asleep on the bed.
Well, Sophie doesn't actually realize that I recorded her begging me to stay. So I think we should go and have a listen to that audio.
Now, Sophie, I feel embarrassed for you. I was there. I think I was going to the bathroom at the time that was recorded, and I was cringing whilst I heard it live.
It was clearly a joke.
Well, how could you leave Sophie there after that pathetic begging? I ended up staying. The worst thing was, Sophie's like, I've organized my bed. I've changed the sheets. Let's go up and watch a bit of YouTube. So we walk up there. She had left her drink bottle on her bed, which had sort of just leaked all over my side of the bed. It looked like someone had wet the bed.
If you did wet the bed, it's okay
to say that. I had not wet the bed.
I had a beautiful sleep.
Who was Big Spoon and who was Little Spoon?
We stuck to our own sides. I did wake up and I looked over at Sophie and her dog Archie and her were lying on the same pillow. It was so funny.
Hey guys, so we just finished a little yoga class at Hustle and now we're off to breakfast.
While the state of Victoria is locked down and borders remain closed, a group of 5 skinny white Australian influencers are living it up on an influencer trip. Controversial fashion brand White Fox Boutique is behind the all-expenses-paid getaway at Byron Bay, the first of its kind in Australia since the pandemic. The sudden travel plans have many people asking whether influencer trips are outdated. Now, Sophie, can you fill us in on what is going on White Fox's weekend away?
Yes, well, over the weekend, White Fox decided to send 5, as you said, white influencers on a trip to Byron Bay. Now, this has been a huge branding exercise for the company. On their Instagram story, they have a whole highlight section dedicated to this where they've made graphics. They've even created boarding passes with White Fox Boutique on it. White Fox Boutique is all over the accommodation as well. Now, they have sent Madison Woolley, Ali Blakely, Hannah Pereira, Isabel Clark, and Ashley Menon. I'm sorry to get these names wrong, but I don't know who the fuck they are apart from Madison.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, I heard you struggling and I knew exactly why. I mean, our friend Madison, of course, is on the trip. That's how we were alerted to it. But I do know Isabel Clarke, but the others, I really didn't know. And to be honest, they all looked the same.
Except for Madison.
Yeah.
So their diversity has stretched to having a short blonde girl on the trip.
Yeah, it's great that they included the blondes and not just the bronze girls on the trip.
As someone pointed out, the girls do look like a slight variation of the same person. And for those,
this sounds hypocritical because we're triplets, but I mean, we're from the same
We're not on the trip, so it doesn't matter.
Well, on White Fox Boutique's story, we got taken on a behind-the-scenes tour of their crib, which was, of course, an incredibly luxurious villa in Byron Bay. Did you guys see it? It was insane.
Yeah, there was a lot of White Fox Boutique branding everywhere. I was jealous watching it, which I think is what people want.
I was wondering if Madison Willey was functioning okay because everything wasn't white there, like it is in a new apartment.
So many colours, yeah. For those who don't know the in-joke, Madison Willey's new loft apartment literally has... It's just all white furniture.
And before anyone comments, we're clearly just jealous of it. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Now, for those who haven't seen, like all influencer trips, the girls were sent out on lavish brunches, dinners, and they did a Pilates session today. So I'm intrigued to see how the rest of the weekend/weekday trip goes.
Well, I think there's a big photo shoot that's planned. So I know Madison's been saying she got new hair extensions and her nails done for it. So we'll wait with bated breath to see how that turns out.
Well, as you mentioned, this is the first influencer trip since the pandemic in Australia, but I'd love to find out more. And I suppose a lot of the listeners would love to know more about where did these influencer trips even start? Because we've seen them on social media for so long, but how did they all come about?
Well, these sorts of influencer trips started appearing on our news feeds back in 2016. And one brand that is renowned for starting this craze is high-end fashion brand Revolve. Now, they have had some amazing trips. They have had one called hashtag Revolve Around the World. They've also had Revolve Summer and Revolve Festival, which had really like Coachella vibes. Now, these influencer trips are a relatively new PR strategy for brands that want to sell products to consumers. They are essentially exclusive getaways fully funded by brands in order to promote their latest clothing or makeup launch. Now, normally they pick very visually pleasing locations like Bora Bora or the Maldives. And what you'll notice is influencers are given a very detailed itinerary of what's going on. Now, normally it involves five-star eating, so they'll have a beautiful breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They'll also do a lot of activities. So on some of these overseas trips, they've been known to go snorkeling or to the beautiful beaches. And then they do a lot of photo shoots on these trips. So basically, it's a chance for the brand to get the influencer to wear all of their clothes, and the influencers will then share those photos on their own platforms, as well as the brand will share it on their website.
What's clever about it is that, you know, when one of these brands do these big trips, it is literally all over your newsfeed if they've selected the right influencers.
Well, that's it. The trip is usually a win-win for both the brand and the influencer because brands can then reach a much wider audience. But then the influencer, of course, gets this amazing all-expenses-paid holiday. And recently, it's sort of there's whispers that they also get paid a lot of money to go on the trip, depending on who the influencer is.
Well, I think there was once the belief that they just had the trip paid for them. But now because they do all these things, like they have to have their photo shoots and all the different activities that they have to be in, it's clear they are paid for these trips.
Well, you can see why they are paid because Revolve's chief brand officer came out and explained that using these sorts of influencer methods like brand trips has proven to be extremely successful for Revolve because they actually earn 70% of their sales from influencer-driven marketing.
And I feel like the influencers become so loyal to the brands that do send them overseas. I feel like they are more willing to post about it. So it does make sense from a brand perspective to, I suppose, indulge these particular influencers.
Well, I suppose what a lot of people think when they are consuming this content is how much do these trips cost?
Yeah.
Because they look incredible. I think it would be every person's dream to go on one of these all expenses paid influencer trips.
I'd actually find it. I wouldn't want to be with the people on the trip. I find it so annoying, especially that White Fox Boutique trip. I would not want to be on that.
You'd probably just be taking all their photos.
Oh, I would be.
Well, it is estimated that a recent Tarte trip cost $340,000. And what someone did is they added up the three different trips that they had recently and sort of costed up the meals at the different restaurants and obviously the private jets and all the activities. And that was apparently a very low estimate. They didn't even include what they would have paid the influencers to be on the trip.
Wow. Well, it's obviously working for them.
Well, that might sound really expensive, but it's not when you consider how much traditional advertising actually costs. So I did a little bit of research, and an average 30-second national ad costs $342,000, while a one-page magazine ad runs for approximately $250,000. So you can see how spending that much money on a trip actually does really well for that company, because they can get someone that's got 500,000 followers and basically sell out their entire line in 24 hours.
Well, I always think that just going back to when Sophie and I were working as news reporters, when you do see how many people view these videos, you can see how cost effective it is. Because, for example, I remember seeing a video that got 45,000 views, and Nine News in Adelaide gets 45,000 views, and that's prime time viewing. And as you said, people would be paying $300,000 for an ad.
We've obviously touched on that there are great financial benefits for this trip. But Sophie, can you explain a little bit more the purpose of the influencer trip?
Now, as you touched on, of course, these trips are about creating brand awareness, because obviously they've got their product placement everywhere. But it's also more about promoting an ideal. So, for example, you watch certain vlogs on these trips and you think, oh, if I had that eyeshadow, if I had that blush, I could live this luxurious lifestyle that this influencer is living.
And I suppose it's all about promoting that FOMO, because I know when I watch it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I wish I could go on one of those trips. And it's all about, you know, the decor, the fashion, the activities. It's just this amazing product that you then align with the brand that's being promoted.
But it's like back in the day when they used to use celebrities to promote products because they were seen as being enviable products. It's exactly the same thing, but now influencers are the vehicle for that.
But it's not exactly the same, because now they're using people who they deem to be relatable to people. But now what's happening is that these people aren't so relatable because they're so wealthy themselves.
Well, it's very true, because brands are very selective about who goes on these trips. And as you said, Amy, it's no longer celebrities. It's actually influencers that are being selected to promote these massive brands. And brands are really looking for influencers that embody their values and ideas, which I find quite ironic considering White Fox chose 5 white, skinny Australian girls to promote their recent clothing.
Well, it's not a surprise when you go on their website. All they do is cater for white size 6 to 8 girls.
Well, I think the whole point of these trips is to only promote the upper echelon of influencers, and it's usually the most beautiful girls in the most beautiful locations doing the most glamorous things. So I think this actually says a lot about what White Fox actually believe in and their morals, that they only think that white skinny girls are that top echelon, and we all know that's not true. And I think it's very tone deaf in this current climate to be pushing that agenda.
Do you know what the funny thing is? I feel like a lot of the feedback online is that some of the products from White Fox aren't the best quality, and I, you know, the type of girls they're sending, these rich white girls, I don't even think any of them would really buy the products. But I can see this
None of them really buy the product. It's not really about that. It's about
creating the facade that this is the type of person.
Yeah, and especially because it's quite interesting that Revolve, which is the more high fashion brand, were the first sort of brand to start doing these sorts of trips. But a lot of the fast fashion brands have kind of jumped on board. Like, we've had trips with Boohoo.
Now, White Fox Boutique have a reputation of being quite controversial. This year, they were accused of cultural appropriation, and that came about because of Sarah's Day's White Fox Boutique activewear campaign, where she wore braids in her hair.
I find it was really unfair, because Sarah's Day copped the brunt of that when White Fox Boutique were the actual brand involved in that campaign. At no point did they ever say, oh, hey, I think this might be perceived as cultural appropriation.
Well, what's really interesting is influencers have always been at the heart of White Fox Boutique's marketing campaigns. So I actually didn't realize this until today. They started selling clothes on eBay, and one of their dresses wasn't selling at all until they noticed that Kim Kardashian had the same dress. So they put up a photo of Kim, and suddenly the dress sold out.
So what? She had bought one of the dresses on eBay?
No, it was like a random dress that they were selling from a different brand. And so from there, they realized that if they were to send clothes to different influencers, those clothes would sell out. And if you look at it, that's just what they've continued to do.
I actually find it interesting that they are so savvy with their influencer marketing, but then they have decided to do such a tone-deaf influencer trip during the pandemic.
I agree. I actually think it could have been a great PR move by White Fox Boutique if they'd used the money to send some families who might have been struggling as a result of COVID away on an all-expenses-paid trip, given them some White Fox Boutique clothes.
I tend to disagree with you, though, because that personally wouldn't make me want to buy clothes. I think that they just had the opportunity to have a more diverse range of influences that people actually like.
They could have, but we're all sitting around talking about how terrible it was, and I wouldn't buy White Fox Boutique clothes from seeing it, but if they actually did something, a goodwill gesture, that would be a better move. Why aren't more clothing lines thinking, what can I do PR-wise that's going to help, rather than just rolling out the same carbon copy influences on these pretentious trips away?
And I think that's the thing. I think we are very savvy now when it comes to influencers, and we've caught on to this ploy. Yeah. We know that these people are being sent overseas on a lavish holiday so that we buy the products they are promoting. And at the end of the day, perhaps it wouldn't have sold many clothing, them doing a goodwill gesture, but it would be a very good branding exercise for them to do something good. I'm just more shocked, to be honest, around the diversity or lack of it in White Fox's influencer trip. The fact that they had the opportunity after the Black Lives Matter movement to actually come out and show that they were taking diversity seriously, they just completely failed on all accounts.
I had a look at their website and they do cater from extra small up until extra large. But the joke of it is everybody who's photographed is an extra small. So how is anyone actually meant to tell what the clothes are going to look like on them if there's no one who actually represents the person who's buying the clothes?
Well, you bring up the issue of representation, and it's so valid because there's one American influencer who wrote an article about this, and she said that the majority of women she works with in marketing are white young women. And who do white young women follow? Other people that are the same as them. So we are not seeing a larger demographic that are being represented because they are being selected by these women.
Those are some really valid points. And I think what's most disappointing is that there are a lot of women of color who are influencers that have actually come out and said that they've been treated differently to white influencers on these influencer trips, to the point where they've been excluded from photos. They've kind of just been used as tokens in the photo of all the white girls. And they've also not had the same itinerary as everyone else. So they're just kind of left out and pulled onto the set when they need a bit of diversity. And that is so wrong on so many levels.
Well, that's actually called model minority. And that's, as you say, when brands feel like they have to tick the boxes. So they include some people. But then again, those people fit certain criteria, like they have to be a certain weight, they have to be a certain look, they have to have lighter skin.
But how do we stop that from happening? Because I don't know what's worse, using someone as a token or actually having a complete lack of diversity.
Well, I think with the whole tokenism thing, it's like you can't just bring someone on the trip and treat them like a second-class citizen.
Well, the only way I can think of it stopping is if we actually just follow a diverse range of people rather than just following the cookie cutter people. Because if we're just following white influencers who are all blonde or brunette and look the same, then they're the only people that are going to be sent on these bloody trips.
Well, that's the joke of the choice that White Fox Boutique have made. They could have got someone like Flex Mami, who has a larger following than these people that we don't even know who they are, yet they didn't get her on the trip.
Maybe Flex didn't want to go because it was so tone deaf.
Well, exactly right. It is quite interesting that you say that, because I would love to know who they actually reached out to and whether these are the only small-minded people that don't realize how tone deaf it is going on a vacation like this.
Most of those influencers are actually from Max Connectors, which is an influencer agency. And if you have a look at their website, it is astonishing how much all of the influencers look the same. There is no diversity. So I'm wondering if White Fox is in sort of cahoots with Max Connectors and they're the company that are supplying all the influencers on these trips.
Is it just me, or is it ironic that the brand is called White Fox? Now, Fox is usually a term given to an attractive woman, and the fact it's got white in front of it. Now, I'm not saying that that is the reason that they chose the name, but it's pretty bloody ironic when you think about their choice of influencers.
Now, to finish on a slightly more positive note, there is one brand who has done it right this week. Now, Dior has launched a new foundation, and of course, there have been many foundation or makeup brands that have come under fire in the past for not including enough ranges of colors. Now, Dior has launched 67 different color shades, and they have used 67 different influencers of that shade to represent their brand. And I think it's an incredible move by a makeup brand, and hopefully we see more of it happening in the future.
He sold us a hair with a cake around it.
Influencer Mitchell Orville has announced he's releasing a fitness ebook. It comes the same week that makeup influencer Sammy Robinson revealed she's set to launch a 30-day fitness challenge. Now, Kate and Sophie, is this just a coincidence or is it a shameless cash grab?
Oh, it's definitely a cash grab. And I don't know what was worse, the cash grab or the fact that Mitchell uploaded all these photos of his transformation and all you could see was the fact that there was a sock stuffed in his jocks.
Oh my God, that was so funny. You forwarded on to me. I actually just burst out laughing. Look, and there were so many comments saying, oh, does this like make your old fella grow as well?
He actually looks amazing in the photos. Like, good on him for losing so much weight. But it was so awkward.
Going back to whether it is a cash grab, I definitely have to agree with Kate. I mean, you look at the industries that are surging at the moment since the pandemic, and the fitness industry is definitely one of those. And you also look at the fact that many brands that would usually support these influencers are losing money for the influencers. So it's safe to say that we're probably going to see a lot more influencers bringing out their own brands and trying to make money that way.
Well, look, to be fair, I actually have enjoyed watching Mitchell's journey because he has really turned his life around. And I know there have been a lot of people who have been asking him what he has been doing because he has lost so much weight and he's toned up. So initially when I heard that he was releasing this mindset book and a training guide, I thought, oh, okay, that sounds pretty cool. Like, good on him if he's sharing the secrets. But my mind was changed slightly when I came across the website in which his ebook is being sold on. And the website's called Sharma Fitness. And at first I thought, that's a really weird name. Why would Mitchell call his business that? And then I read a little bit further and it's actually the last name of his personal trainer, who's Will Sharma. And he is a former model and also a personal trainer who lives on the Gold Coast. And this is where it gets a little bit interesting if you read a bit further. On the website, there's a collab page. So you click on it and it's basically a call out for influencers to get in touch with this particular personal trainer. And it says, turn your influence into income. Do you have a strong social media following, a health and fitness routine you think the world could benefit from? Are you ready to turn your influence into an income? We want to hear from you. It then goes on to say that he will handle all of the behind the scenes detail. He's going to write the book. They take all the photographs and the videos for marketing. And they're also selling another influencer's ebook on the same page. Her name's Ashton Wood, and she's got over 300,000 followers. And both her and Mitchell's ebooks are priced at the same price.
So it's basically an insert influencer here type of fitness program. They just have the program already, make the influencer do it. They lose weight and then they go, oh, hang on, I've created this whole plan for you guys to share.
He does actually say that if you're an influencer and you're not already in shape, that he will train you to get to that level where I suppose people want to buy your ebook. But the thing is, with Mitchell, it does also say that you can have as much creative control as you like. But Mitchell did come out on his YouTube channel and he said that he had a lot to do with writing the mindset manual. So I actually think he did.
Doesn't that seem like such an odd marketing strategy or business to push? The fact that it's such an oversaturated market because they can just insert influencers here and there.
I just think it's so stupid to point people to the website. I mean, why didn't they make a separate website for Mitchell's ebook?
It's not hard to make a landing page with your own branding on it that's completely separate from the scheme.
But that just shows how entangled in the ebook this brand is, because he probably has had not much to do with the marketing side of it.
Yeah, it's literally sending people though to this website to say, hey, look, I've just created an ebook to sell something and this guy's done it all for me.
I think what I found even more frustrating is the fact that Sammy Robinson is doing the same thing, because at least with Mitchell, it really has been a journey that we have been on with him. Mm. But Sammy Robinson's like known for eating red frogs and marvelous chocolate. She continuously posts her having binges of chocolate and lollies on her Instagram stories. And I'm all for it because I love those things too. But then it seems very hypocritical to be like, oh, I'm all about wellness and health now that it suits me and I've got an agenda to push.
Yeah. So basically, for those who don't know, Sammy announced on Sunday night that she was releasing a new guide called Sammy Active. And basically her YouTube video was to see if people were interested. So they haven't actually filmed any of the videos or done any of the work. They're seeing if people will buy it.
That's what really confused me, because when you're presenting a brand to the market, you want to be assured in that brand. You want to be confident that's something that people want to buy. But when you say, not really sure if you guys want it,
it seems like that more of a cash grab, the fact that, if enough people want to do it, then we'll put it out. I found it quite funny because yet again, it was another poorly shot vlog from Sammy where she didn't charge her camera and she forgot to vlog. And she was filming her day in the life of what she eats. And it was quite ironic because she was like, oh, I'm doing a healthy Mexican bowl. But then she loaded it with like sour cream and cheese and corn chips. And it just screamed that she has no idea about nutrition. She does say she's going to have a nutritionist as a part of the program, but it was so murky.
Well, the thing that I found most strange is that Sammy has been quite vocal in promoting Steph Claire Smith and Laura Henschel's Keep It Cleaner program, and she's attributed some of her fitness towards that. So now that she's kind of releasing a very similar format, which I assume they're going to film her working out while her trainer tells her what to do, I do wonder how those two girls feel about it.
Well, that's exactly what she's doing. So she said they're going to film her workouts and put them up on Vimeo. But I've got to say, if I was Steph Claire Smith, I'd be pretty pissed off because the pair are actually friends. They met on a brand trip with Mac and went around Japan together, and they're often tagging each other in different promotions. So Sammy will promote Kick, and then Steph has been promoting 1 Mile on her Instagram stories. So I do wonder how she feels.
But do any of these influencers really have a unique idea? I mean, you look at her brand 1 Mile, and it is a complete copy of Country Road.
Oh my gosh, let's be fair. This whole Sammy Active and 1 Mile, all of the clothes from 1 Mile only look good on Sammy, and Sammy is some genetic freak who just looks bloody amazing, and no one's gonna look like Sammy from doing her workout. I hate to break it to you, but she is just genetically blessed. Well, she's a goddess,
and she eats badly,
yeah,
and still has abs. I mean, I know she does some training with a personal trainer, but let's be honest, she doesn't ever seem like she's committing to it, and she's always eating crap.
Can you imagine if that was in the guide, that you had like a block of Marvelous chocolate?
I'd follow it. Yeah. I'd download it.
But no one would look like Sammy after.
The thing that I find so perplexing about these influencers, though, is that they don't stick in their lane. As you introduce Sammy, she is a makeup YouTuber. Why hasn't she released a makeup brand?
Exactly right. It was like when she announced 1 Mile, and it was kind of like, oh, I kind of like this. I feel with Sammy, she's never had One Direction. Yes, she did do makeup, but her popularity is all based on the fact that she looks like Gigi Hadid.
I wonder if 1 Mile isn't doing that well, and that's why they're bringing out this fitness challenge, because it does seem like a blatant cash grab, as you said.
Or conversely, the brand is doing so well that they want to release something else.
No, you wouldn't. Why would you release something else that you're like, if you're passionate about 1 Mile, why would you release this random fitness guide?
I do wonder if it's her idea, or if her personal trainer and nutritionist have come in her ear and said, hey, this could be cool. And she's kind of like, oh yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, I'm going to be really interested to see, one, if you guys sign up, because you have always loved Sammy Robinson and you love Kick, and this is Kick plus Sammy Robinson basically combined.
Will you be signing up? I think it's going to be a very poor man's Kick if the videos are from Vimeo.
What if Vimeo is just like YouTube?
Well, yes, I know, but
it's such an old school.
But it's like you're emailed a link and you click on the link. I'm sorry, my Keep It Clean app has everything in it. This is not sponsored by Keep It Clean because they will not sponsor us despite us doing their workout program for 2 years.
I'm fine. Totally fine. I don't know why it's coming out all loud and squeaky, because really, I'm fine.
Well, let's get into the reality wrap. Now, Kate, you've got some news about Shauna, who was one of the favourites on Love Island UK.
Yeah, so Shauna has announced on her Instagram story that she has got liposuction on her calves. Now, it comes after she was medically diagnosed with lipedema, which I'm sorry, I hope that is the right pronunciation, because I have never heard of it before, and it seems like she didn't even know what it was. She only found out she had the condition when trolls started picking on her legs, because she was famous for losing quite a lot of weight, but then people were saying that her legs didn't match up with the rest of her body.
Yeah, well, I followed Shauna on Instagram, and so many trolls would write in the comments saying, oh my God, your legs are so big. And then obviously referencing the fact that they thought she might have this condition. And what's crazy is she didn't even know she had the condition. She went and got checked, and the doctor diagnosed her with having this.
Yeah, so the condition is characterized by enlargement of the legs due to deposits of fat beneath the skin. So Shauna's gone and had liposuction. She took a photo and put it on Instagram. She's been very transparent about the whole process, which has actually been praised by people that suffer from the same condition. Because as we've said, a lot of people don't know about it. So if you've got this condition, a lot of people are like, oh, we'll go for a run. You know, just lose the weight that way. So I think it's good in that respect that she is bringing awareness about the condition.
Well, I'm always very skeptical when people do get plastic surgery, but I think considering it has been something that's bothered her for quite a long time, and it hasn't just been because of the trolling comments she received, that she's made the right decision there. And if it's something that makes her life somewhat better and also shines a light to this condition, it's a good thing.
Now, moving on, American bachelor Colton Underwood has been served a restraining order from his former partner, Cassie. Now, it comes after the pair officially split in May. And they were quite amicable to begin with, saying that they were going to be friends, but it seems to have turned very dark.
Yeah, I can't believe it. He's apparently sent her some very weird text messages and also put a tracking device on her car. It all seems so out of character because he was painted as such a nice guy on the show.
Well, it's funny you say that because some fans have dragged up an old interview Colton did while the pair were still together. And of course, Cassie has accused him of stalking. So this quote is actually quite strange. They were talking about the fact that he decided to jump over the fence to chase her, to get her to return to the show, which sort of seems like a red flag now.
Because for those who don't know, she actually decided to leave the show and he got rid of the other two girls that were still in the running and went after her.
It always seemed like he was a lot more into her than she was to him, which is evident now.
Well, so what Colton said in an interview about that incident was, "In my opinion, society would have viewed a woman chasing after a guy as a clinger, as sort of stalkerish. For me, everybody is like, that's sort of romantic. I do see your point, I do. I'm not a stalker, I promise. I had a good gut feeling that it was there."
To be honest, though, I feel like when you read that quote, you can't really tell the context really of that. I feel like it would have been said in a jokey interview way.
Of course, but it's just weird that now he's been accused of stalking.
I would actually like to hear Colton's side of the story because it does all sound really bad when you read all of the allegations out. But
But why are we giving him the benefit of the doubt? We've just said that if a woman had jumped over a fence to chase off a man that she was in love with, it would be seen as psycho. But when a guy does it, it's romantic.
But I'm not necessarily saying I think it's psycho. I don't think if Hannah B had jumped over the fence and gone after this guy.
We're giving him the benefit of the doubt for saying stalking her and putting a tracking device on his car because he's a nice guy and he just loves her.
I'm not saying, but I'm saying it'd be interesting to hear if that's true. They're allegations at this stage. But
in court documents, so I would say that they were pretty true.
But it's also,
well, you don't know that they're true. I'm just saying from what I've seen, he was actually really lovely on the show.
But there's some text messages that have been released that sort of verify what Cassie is saying.
But you know what? I think Amy's view is because we meet the bachelor. He's painted as this hero, this nice guy that everyone wants to be with. So then when our perception of him changes and we hear these awful things, we don't want to believe it.
I'm just saying that it does sound very shocking. We've got to remember it's TMZ. I'm just saying I'm looking forward to actually hearing Colton's side of the story and discovering whether all these allegations are true.
I'm just concerned because it's very bad behavior that we should not be putting up with in 2020. That's all I'm going to say. We shouldn't be giving him the benefit of the doubt.
But I'm saying we also can't take everything for face value.
That's, we can't. So once the court has...
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
I do agree with what Amy's saying, that there are always two sides to every story. So it should be interesting to hear from his end what has happened.
Well, the fact that the court has ruled that he has to stay 100 yards away from Cassie is quite indicative of that he has done the wrong thing.
Look, can I just say that it reminds me of the story of Caroline Flack when she was accused of assaulting her partner. And a lot of that information was actually twisted in the media. And so many people came after her, not only online, but also in the press. And this resulted in Caroline committing suicide. So it does concern me a little bit because after Caroline's death, it came out that a lot of that information had been twisted. And in fact, Caroline had not assaulted her boyfriend, that the blood shown in the pictures was her own.
They're two completely different scenarios.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying because that
I totally don't think trial by media, but I do think that when a woman comes out and accuses her well-known attractive partner who is put on a pedestal because he was the bachelor of stalking and harassing her and putting a device on her car to follow her, that we take that seriously and we will let the courts do what they need to do in the meantime.
Of course, but his side of the story should be told as well.
Exactly. Of course, in court, those will be discussed.
I think it's definitely a very sad way for that to all end because they did seem like a lovely couple at the time.
I am so sorry, Regina. Really, I don't know why I did it. I guess it's probably because I've got a big lesbian crush on you. Suck all that!
Let's get into the influencer rap. Now, Skye Wheatley is in hot water again after another insensitive Insta story she uploaded over the weekend.
I feel like someone needs to take Skye's phone away from her because I do think that she doesn't mean to be causing harm, but it just comes out so badly. So Sky has launched an apparel range called Good People Apparel, which seems very much a copy of Good American, but that's another topic for conversation. So whilst announcing the different ranges, so she's doing one for kids and she's had to put the adult range on hold, but she's wearing the range, which is like a tie-dye lounge wear tracksuit.
So literally what every UK influencer released a few months ago.
Exactly. So she was talking on her story about the range and she put a little note on there saying that, "I wish we were in Melbourne so we could wear them every day. Ha ha ha."
How does she think that this is funny?
It's not funny. Particularly, I mean, we're not even in Melbourne and I felt so pissed off those people.
I feel like saying to her, well, you could get away with wearing every day because you're an influencer who mainly sits at home.
Exactly. I mean, when I'm at home, all I'm wearing is trackies. So what's the difference?
But what would actually cross your mind to think, oh, that's a good way to market it, that these clothes are so comfortable, you wish you were in quarantine.
Now, what I found equally as disturbing was a few days before, she put out a call out on her Instagram for a model to appear in the photo shoot for a new apparel brand. And apparently one of them had dropped out at the last minute. So she wrote on Instagram, "Our multicultural models have cancelled for tomorrow's Good People Apparel shoot. Please DM me if you know anyone. We mainly need a Chinese or Japanese woman with a daughter or son." Now,
oh my God.
This just screamed of tokenism to me.
I know. It feels like she understands that diversity is required in this sort of advertising, which is great. I don't want to slam her for that.
She's more advanced than White Fox Boutique.
Yes, she is. And I feel bad because she's trying to do the right thing. But again, she seems so uneducated on this topic that it just is offensive because it just seems like it's complete tokenism.
But even saying Japanese or Chinese?
Yeah.
Like, what?
It's pretty funny because she's had a bit of a week of it. She also put out a request looking for a new nanny to her. She has almost 600,000 followers.
That shocked me. I do follow her, so I am to blame in all of this for following her.
Look, we said that before. If you don't agree with their behavior, unfollow. Do you know what? There are so many influencers whose behavior I don't agree with, but I do like to look at what they're doing. And I'm sorry, you're just going to have to try a bit harder. I unfollow them, and then I specifically go and look at their stories.
Look, I'm monitoring for them for the podcast, I think that's allowed.
You're still creating engagement for them, but I digress. Back to
I'm not giving them a follow, though.
But you're creating engagement on their Insta story. But anyway, well, going back to the whole nanny thing, she said she was looking for a full-time nanny to help her with the domestic workload and to look after her son, Forrest. And she explained that she needs help, but she doesn't want anyone to apply to her who is a follower, despite putting a box for people to put their recommendations in.
Why doesn't she just use Google then and find a nanny via that method if you don't want anyone that follows you? That's pretty stupid.
Well, she said that she wants to keep her life super private and wants to be transparent.
Sorry, this is going to sound rude, but does she actually need a nanny? Like what? So she can keep doing her TikTok dances?
Well, apparently she might be expecting another child soon because there was a bit of a rumor. She put up a post saying that Forrest asked for a sister or brother.
Because Celeb Spellcheck put up a post saying that a well-known influencer was set to announce baby number two. So maybe it is Sky.
Okay. Well, maybe she does need a nanny then.
Yeah. Look, I don't think we can judge. I mean, despite what you see online, it's not really indicative of sometimes what these influencers do.
So I know she does need to do her hair and makeup for 4 hours. That would be time. She did a video a day in the life and it was literally she did her makeup for like four hours. Okay.
Or she needs to wear a wig when she's promoting a hair curling wand because she doesn't want to damage her.
To be fair, it might be because she's releasing this apparel line and she would be out of, you know, her home a lot. So
anyway,
it is a big house too.
Let's move on to Steph Cliff Smith. Now, she has caused controversy on her Instagram page for doing the right thing during lockdown. So she posted a photo of herself in bikinis at the beach wearing a mask. Now, a lot of uneducated people have gone on there and been like, "Why are you wearing a mask? That's ridiculous. You just keep blindly following the government's rules." It's like, what the hell? I just thought it was so unfair. She's done the right thing and worn a mask outside of her house, which is law in Victoria, and she's copping shit for it.
I suppose that shows how huge her following is, though, and that it does encompass people from different countries who probably aren't living with those restrictions at the moment.
Oh, look, do you know what it just shows? On social media and in this world, you can never do anything right.
Well, I think people were annoyed because the mask was from Adidas and they claimed that she had been paid to wear the mask. So she popped up a message on her Instagram story saying, "To all the people questioning me wearing a mask or thinking it's ridiculous, here in Melbourne, we have to wear one anytime we're outside of the house. Now, I'm not going to argue your point. Some are fair and some are not. But no, I am absolutely not getting paid to wear a mask and promote it. I just wanted a photo at the beach and didn't want to bend the rules or promote breaking the law by not wearing a mask.
Sorry, talking about masks, I did notice that all the girls from White Fox Boutique had the masks on the plane. Now, I had a problem with that. I don't have a problem with Steph Claire Smith wearing her Adidas mask.
Well, I don't have a problem with the influencers wearing a mask.
No, but it was just a painful other White Fox Boutique photo.
It was another performative measure of showing how beautiful you are on the plane with your branded mask.
I mean, just the fact they were wearing masks showed that they shouldn't be on a fucking influencer trip.
Exactly.
Oh, well, I think that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for listening.
It's nice to end with Kate dropping the F-bomb for our mother to be disgusted
by. Yeah, I'm sorry.
If you did enjoy today's show, we'd love if you could share it on your Insta story and tag us. And also, we've been receiving so many amazing DMs saying that you guys are loving the show. If you don't mind, if you did enjoy it, could you go over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review?
Pretty please.
Yeah, because they do really help the podcast out. And also, I mean, feel free to send us DMs as well. But if you could go on there, it would be very much appreciated.
And if you'd like to join in on the conversation, we'll be having threads in our Facebook community, which is Outspoken Podcast Community. You can find us on there.